We're continuing on the road to Jerusalem. It's a long journey and a very momentous journey that Jesus is traveling. Short time, but full of so much as we continue to see his walk towards the final week in Jerusalem. When we think about all that the Lord has done and is doing, it's way beyond our understanding, is it not? But he gives us truth and hope. That is so good. You remember the foundations. We all know John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then Jesus himself said in 14:6 of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Only one way. Well, anyway, on the journey to Jerusalem, he went through Jericho. And Jericho has kind of a historic significance, doesn't it, too? I think its walls were kind of shaky. Anyway, Jesus was there on his way through, on his way to Israel and Jerusalem. Had to go through Samaria and Jericho on the way there. There was a blind beggar sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. You know, all throughout Scripture, when they talk about Jesus of Nazareth, they're talking about our Jesus. Jesus is a common name, even in our day. In Hispanic, it's Jesus. Philippines is Jesus. All over the world, it's a very common name, and people use it today. So it's interesting that when they say about our Jesus, say Jesus of Nazareth. Here, Jesus the Nazarene. There's a denomination that kind of likes that. Anyway, Jesus of Nazareth. And it depends on who's saying it. If it's the crowd of the leadership in Israel, it's a slur. For people who love the Lord, it's a blessing. Even people at the cross cursed and called him Jesus the Nazarene. And we'll see about Pilate later. So he begins shouting, Jesus, Son of David. Notice that he said that. He knew who Jesus was. Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the people in front yelled at him. But he only shouted louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. And that's kind of like it is today, isn't it? People who tell the truth, others say, shut up and be quiet. We don't like what you say. Why? Because it's truth. People do not like truth. I'm going on a tangent here, but that's sort of what it is, isn't it? So he shouted at her, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God, too. We talked about that a little bit last week, but he followed. Other time when Jesus healed, he said, go back to your hometown. Don't follow me. tell others about it in your own territory. But here, this man followed him. And we know that there was a contingent that always went with Jesus. A lot of them provide the support for the 12 as they walked and they journeyed around. Some of them were even wealthy. They provided food and strength as they journeyed. But as he entered Jericho, he made his way through town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus, called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." What a tremendous opportunity this was for that man. He wanted to see Jesus. I don't think he understood a lot about Jesus yet, but he knew that he was in the territory and there was quite a follower that Jesus of Nazareth had. So he had to see for himself what was going on. But notice it was a very rich man. He probably got his riches, as we'll see later, by being a tax collector.
But I think he had a yearning in his heart. He didn't know exactly what he was yearning for, but he knew enough about the Bible as they knew it then to know something was pulling at him.
Yeah, and that was right. God placed that there, I'm sure. You're right. And God prepared him. And so, going to your house today. What a tremendous thing for Jesus to say, "I want to go to your house." So Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Notorious sinner. That's what they considered tax collectors. Tax collectors, you remember, were Jewish people who were go-betweens between the Romans and the Israelis. Well, they considered a tax collector a sinner. And that's what they kept talking about Jesus. He sits with tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes. He sits with them and has dinner with them. How can he do that?
Those are the ones that need him. The people that are already saved or whatnot, they're already good to go. Doctors don't heal the healthy, they heal the sick.
Yeah.
Those that thought they were good didn't need him. Those that knew they were not good knew they needed him.
Exactly. Exactly. And that was the difference. Those who need a physician know that they're sick. So here we see Zacchaeus, a notorious sinner, a little man. Meanwhile, who is it that we also hear the rest of the news? Remember that day back in those days? Now, the rest of the news after he told his story. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor. Lord, and if I have cheated people of their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. What a tremendous, so, yeah, he had the Lord draw at his heart. That's why he wanted to see Jesus. God was working. And all of a sudden, here he was, a changed man and a changed heart. And he said, that even if I've cheated someone, whether he did or not, he said, if I did, I will give them four times as much as I took from them. And I want to give half my money to the poor. Salvation came to his house. And he was a true son of Abraham. The Jewish people, remember, prided themselves that they were from the tribe of Abraham. And because they were born from the tribe of Abraham, they felt they were special. Somehow, Jesus continued to tell them, no, you're not special. You're not really sons of Abraham if you don't listen to him and obey him and believe that I am his son.
Well, Jesus knew his heart. I mean, that's, he saw, you know, if he hadn't climbed a tree, Jesus would have known whether he was really believing or anything. But when he climbed a tree to see Jesus, that means he was seeking Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus knew his heart, and that's why he says, yeah, I got to come to your house today.
That's a tremendous story, is it not? And I always love this one. Salvation has come to your house, and you're a true son of Abraham. A true son of Abraham. So, continuing on to Jerusalem. The crowd was listening to everything that Jesus said. And because he was nearing Jerusalem, he told them a story to correct the impression that the kingdom of God would begin right away. You know, they kept thinking, when the Messiah comes, everything's going to be all right. They were kind of shook up about it, weren't they? This couldn't be the Messiah, because when the Messiah comes, everything is going to be just fine. And it wasn't.
They were under the impression that they, as Israel, would become the rulers of the whole world. And that's what they were looking for, a self-king coming. It was all about self and not about Jesus.
Right. And they misinterpreted some of the Old Testament passages that seemed to give them that idea, right? And I think in the church today, there's a lot of people that misinterpret even the things that Jesus said and think they have a better understanding of what Jesus is going to be about. I hear so many reports in different ministers and evangelists talking about Jesus. Most of them say the church doesn't even talk about the end times these days. Most churches don't. But if they do, they twist it to their own benefit and their own ideas rather than what Jesus is in his word. And I don't think I have all the answers, because I know that when I get to eternity, he's going to say, hey, look, Tom, you thought you had this figured out. You didn't quite do it right, did you? And I'll be grateful to hear that, you know, because I think when we get to eternity, we're all going to realize that we didn't have it quite all figured out. And I don't think anyone knows. I could get on my rabbit trail now, I better not. Anyway, he wanted to tell them that it wasn't going to come right away. And so this is the story, he said, in 1912-13. A Noah man was called away to a distant empire to be crowned king and then return. Before he left, he called together 10 of his servants and divided among them 10 pounds of silver, saying, invest this for me while I am gone. So here's the story of the servants giving a bag of silver to invest. But notice that he says that this man was on his way to become king. That's kind of an interesting part of this parable. He was on his way to be appointed a king. So here was his servants, and he gave them in charge of what he had. And then Jesus said, but his people hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we do not want him to be our king. And after he was crowned king, he returned and called in his servants to whom he had given the money. He wanted to find out what their profits were. Now he gave it to them to invest. Remember? That was his purpose, to invest. And so here is the first servant reported, Master, I invested your money and made 10 times the original amount. Well done, the king exclaimed. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little I entrusted to you. So you will be governor of 10 cities as your reward. The next servant reported, Master, I invested your money and made 5 times the original amount. Well done, the king said. You will be governor over 5 cities. Now, when you think about this, who is the king that he is referring to? I think you could equate himself as being that king, right? He said this parable was to impress them that the kingdom wasn't coming right away. Not the kingdom they supposed, but the spiritual kingdom was coming in just a few weeks.
That it's like, you know, the Lord gives us, you know, he gives us the money, things like that. All the money comes from him. And I have to invest in the kingdom, you know. It has to be invested. Invested in my mutual fund, that's nothing, because I wouldn't even take that with me. But investing in the kingdom, That's real. That's amazing to me. I think about that. I say, Lord, I'm going to invest this in your kingdom.
Yeah. It's more important to invest in the kingdom of God than it is for a 401k.
Well, you know, I guess I'll know that I'm on a fixed income, but since I started tithing my 10%, my money seems to be going just as far as I needed it to before, and that's God.
And that's exactly what happens. The Lord is so good about all of that. And he knows our hearts. He knows what's needed in our lives, and he provides for it. And that's a tremendously good thing, is it not? Well done, the king says. Other places, you know, he says, in other talk, Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. The third servant brought back only what the original amount of money and said, Master, I hid your money and kept it safe. I was afraid because you're a hard man to deal with, taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant. You wicked servant, the king roared. Your own words condemn you. If you do, what a hard man. I'm a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvests crops I didn't plant. Why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. What does that tell us? When Jesus gives us life and salvation, we invest it in the lives of others. And it's more than just our money, it's our lives that we invest. And that's one of the things I keep always in prayer before the Lord. Lord, make my life a benefit to others. Do I always do it? I look back at some of what I consider my failures and say, that was when I should have said something to this person or that person, and I missed my chance. And those things haunt me. They still haunt me. But he wants us to use what he has given us to the best of our ability. He doesn't give us all the same ability. My girls, they have different abilities. And you look at each one of them and they're different. Some of them talk too much. We love them all. You know, they're all different, but we love them. But they don't have the same abilities as each of them. None of them could have climbed under a car and fixed it. Now, one of Gibbs' daughters could. But you know, different gifts, different abilities, and that's okay. Some of them know just enough to get ourselves in trouble about things, don't we? So anyway, we're all different. Sometimes that makes us clash with other people. But God knows what to do, just like he did with Zacchaeus and the king here with his different servants. They had different abilities. But the one that did not benefit is the one that just hid what he had been given. So that says to me, don't hide our belief in Jesus. Don't hide it. And then you pray that the Holy Spirit will open up the right door and the right opportunity at the right time for you to say something. And I have to pray that for myself often. You know, there's people in my life that are not necessarily church people or Christians necessarily. Maybe are and maybe not. But I enjoy being with them. I enjoy the camaraderie I can have with them. And I want the Holy Spirit to tell me at the right time to say something. I like my doctor, my main doctor. He's very personable. Jen's with me a couple of times. I like him. He's quite an interesting man. He doesn't hold back anything, you know. He likes to share even his own life and his own situation. And remember one time he was saying that he wanted to know what was my favorite foods, I think he asked. And so I told him what I really liked, you know, some of my favorite foods. He said his girlfriend could eat a whole bag of chips in one meal. Because that's what she likes. And I had to kind of agree with that. I could do that too. I like things salty. Sometimes things real sweet I don't like. Some sweet things I do. But I'm very picky about my apples also. I like hard, firm apples. I don't like mushy ones. And that's why, unless they're fresh, I don't like a lot of delicious apples, unless they're new, right off the vine. My mother told me I always got sick in the green apples. I told you that before. But I ate them anyway, and I never got sick. Maybe that's what my problem is. I ate too many green apples when I was a kid. Anyway, enough of that. But he's very personal. And I gave him, way back, maybe my second or third visit, a Gospel of John. And I have some available to different ones that I want to eventually give it to my PT therapist. They're neat persons, you know. I have plans to give one of them early on, a different one. But my one now is married to an Army guy, Fort Lewis here, and I give him plans to give her one of these therapy sessions. Anyway, enough of that. But I ask the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom as to when to talk and when to be quiet. And Jesus told his disciples, those who followed him, that they would be brought before the leaders of Israel and that the Holy Spirit would give them the things to say when they were in that situation. And I ask the Lord to continue to make that part of my life and part of your lives. And interesting thing. But I don't want to just bury it in the sand. I'm saved. Who cares about you? That is dangerous, is it not? Since I'm saved, that's fine. But I want others to know him too, right? Remember Jesus said, some plant, some sow, some reap. And that's part of our lives. So we have to be careful not to beat ourselves up.
Like at doctor's appointments and whatnot, my Charlie Kirk shirts that I wear sure start conversations going where you have a chance to talk about God.
Yeah. So there's different vehicles that we can use today, especially today, right?
I remember at least two times that I was on a plane going back to with Jennifer, to my grandma died, and I was talking to the stewardess, and I tried to give her a Gospel of John and some of those things, and she got very, very upset and just got up and walked away. That kind of hurt me, but and then there was another time when I was in school. I mentioned something to she was a speech therapist and a couple of the teachers there. I said, you know, when I get to heaven, I want to be able to sit down and talk to these little kids and they'll be normal. I'll be able to talk to them. And they just laughed and scorned. And I thought, well, you know, that's putting good things before swine, you know, what's that verse that says that? And I thought about that, and I said, oh, and it discouraged me, you know. I have two friends that I've been able to talk to a little bit, but the one, I don't know how to talk to her. The other one I do.
Yeah, we all go through situations like that. Yeah, that's pretty normal for all of us, and he wants us to try, and he'll give us the hope, the words at the right time, at the right people, and so we just have to trust he will do it at the right time. So anyway, life is full of opportunities, and I pray that the Lord will give us each the right time and the right things to say at the time that is needed. And I noticed that he really didn't care about the amount, just that it was done. That's exactly what Jesus wants in our life. And then turning to the other standing, the king ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. But master, they said, he already has 10 pounds. Yes, the king replied, and to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And as for these enemies of mine who didn't want me to be their king, bring them in and execute them right here in front of me. That's a really telling parable, isn't it? So those who don't want Jesus to be king, they're facing a damnation to eternity, aren't they? And the people uses all those terms without understanding them at all. People use the word damn you. They don't realize what they're saying, do they? And people that uses Jesus' name in vain don't know what they're doing either. So anyway, we trust and pray that we'll all be able to use what God has given us to the best of our ability. Sometimes when we try to get other people to do what we want them to, we get ourselves into trouble, do we not? And we don't have to make people like us. We accept them for who they are and ask God to bless them. So we're going to see the Mount of Olives next week, and the donkey, the ride, the shouting, the stones, the Jerusalem, the temple, the teaching in the temple, and those are the notes again about the end times, and that's my rabbit trail again, and you can mark those down and look at those passages. And we'll probably talk about them again next week because of what's being said. And Father, again, it just touches my heart that I want to call you Lord of my life. You are our King. And I want us to honor you as King of our lives. And thank you for your care with us and the peace and the joy that you give us, even in hard times, as well as good times. So we want to say we love you, we worship you, we adore you, and we call you Lord. Thank you for that, Jesus. In your name, amen.